Excerpt 1 of the Survivalist Log. A side story from Samuel Shinpike and the Attack of the Roadkill Zombies.
We're okay, Malcolm. Let us in.
Those words still echo in my head, and I see their faces on the other side of the fence, like it just happened a minute ago. They'd taken the clunker down to the fishing hole 2 days before and hadn't returned. The rusting beast was idling behind them, belching cheap biofuel that we made from everything we couldn't eat, and our post-food as well.
"No, you're not," I said.
"Bob's a zombie and you're infected," I said to them.
"He just fell in the mud. He's fine."
"You guys are 2 days late. You didn't check in. I thought you were dead. Where's Frank?"
"Frank is dead. You gotta let us in. I need to feed my pets, and Bob needs to get cleaned up."
"Bob's a zombie, aren't you, Bob?"
Bob just looked at me, his eyes pale and his mouth half open. "See," I said, "he can't even talk. He always talked. We couldn't shut him up. He was like a cross between a parrot and a Labrador. He's standing still, too. He'd always be pacing and telling us what just happened, even if we were right there."
"Open the gate, Malcolm. I'm feeling sick," Phil said to me.
"Dude, you're infected. It's as plain as the nose on your face. Well, most of your nose."
He never was good-looking, but Phil was downright ugly now. With the tip of his nose cleanly nipped off and patchy black blotches showing up on his cheeks. His nose made him look like the Tin Man on that show my grandpappy used to watch over and over with the tornado and the dog.
"Just open the gate. I gotta feed my chinchillas."
"With what?" I said. "You guys didn't bring anything back. Besides, you were fishing, not shopping."
"It's only a matter of time, Phil. I can't let you guys in."
Phil's eyes brightened and he rummaged around in his pockets. He showed me a tiny remote and smiled, saying,
"Trumped you, dude. I'm the tech guy, remember?"
Holding it in the air like the Statue of Liberty and looking at me with that smug grin, he clicked the remote and a blue light flashed briefly. He clicked it again and the blue light flashed again. Looking at it, he pressed the button a third time, then a fourth.
Maybe the gate's not plugged in, I said.
"I'll climb that gate and beat the daylights out of you."
"No, you won't," I said, and backed away, their features fading in the distance.
I came back out with a 5-gallon tank a little over half full of fuel. They weren't coming in, and I know they never kept much in that old rust bucket. Phil was at the top of the fence, about to step over the barbed wire when I heaved it at him and said, "Catch!"
3 gallons of fuel is mighty heavy unless you grew up heaving hay bales. He reflexively grabbed the can, which pushed him back over, knocking the wind out of him as it broke its fall.
"Are you nuts?" he gasped. "We both know it's only a matter of time before Bob takes a bite out of you or you turn zombie."
Bob started pushing against the fence, moving off to the left to find a way in to snack on me.
"He hasn't attacked me, though. He stopped talking and pacing so much, but he hasn't attacked me."
"That's probably because you're infected, Phil. What happened out there? Why didn't you call in?"
Phil looked like he was going to throw up as he walked away from the fence, then returned pacing like Bob would if he wasn't a zombie.
"We were fishing at the river right at sunset. Got myself some big catfish, too. Sucker would have made 3 nights' dinner. Then Phil caught one that snapped his pole. He didn't want to be outdone by the one I'd just caught, so he walked into the water, taking the line hand over hand. The line was almost vertical, so he knew he was close. He was only waist deep when he reached into the water. He rummaged around and went under. I thought he was kidding, but then he didn't come up. Frank dove in to try to save him, but..." His voice trailed off.
"So how'd you get infected?"
"I'm coming to that. Give me a minute," he said as he punched the fence 3 times in rapid succession. His hand was clearly broken, but he didn't react. I yelled at him to get out of the water. He backed away and then stumbled and fell, screaming in pain. He made it to the shore and had tooth marks in his calf. We were freaking, dude. As I bandaged him up, another one must have come out of the water or someplace. Bob kicked it off of me just in time. Well, almost just in time.
He crossed his eyes, trying to look at the tip of his nose. We drove to the top of the hill. I thought we could call then. The fishing hole's a blind spot. That's when I realized my phone was back at the river. I tried Bob's, but his was soaking wet.
Nice planning, dude. Where were your backups?
In the tackle box, back at the fishing hole. Don't you listen?
Let me in, dude. I gotta eat. I'm getting the shakes.
No can do. You know the rules.
Can't you get me something? Man, after what I've been through?
How's your hand? I asked.
Phil looked at his good hand, then to the one he broke.
Oh, that's not good. I gotta get to the hospital.
Stay off the fence, get Bob back into Rusty there, and I'll get you a couple of chicken legs.
Okay, he said.
Coming back, I pushed a couple of drumsticks through the fence. Phil picked them up and looked at me again.
Hospital, remember? Your hand?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, dude. We'll be back later-ish.
Later, dude.
Hospital. Get on the road and drive as fast as you can. Don't bother with the seat belts.
They backed away in their heap, and then Phil gunned it, spewing black soot and dirt. He'd left the can of fuel there.
Oh, well. I'll go get it tomorrow.
This has been excerpt one of the Survivalist Log, a side story from Samuel Shinpike and the attack of the roadkill zombies.